Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning, everyone. How are we doing? Happy Mother's Day to all the mums out there. That was quite the intro. One of the best preachers in the world. Wow, no pressure. Look, if I can get through this without vomiting, I'm going to call it a win, all right? We're going to be good. You know, the best intro I ever got on stage actually happened from Travis. He gets up here before I'm about to preach and he goes, "Here's Pastor Emma, destroyer of the worlds." Multiple worlds, not one. Apparently I was a destroyer of multiple words. So at least that felt like less pressure though all of a sudden. But we're so glad you're here, church. Go ahead, take a seat. I'm telling you, there is no better place to be on a Sunday than in church. And a lot of that is because not only is God here, which is always a good thing, we have the best people in San Diego in our church. So thanks for being a part of what's happening here at C3. It's crazy to think this time last year, we were still in our movie theater. I remember doing Mother's Day in our movie theater. And here we are this year getting bath bombs in our new building. I like it a lot. But how many mums have had a good morning so far? Good. Well, listen, I'll try not ruin that, all right? We'll try and keep the good times rolling. I love that I get an opportunity to speak around Mother's Day. And, you know, I feel like this morning we need to have a little bit of fun, okay? Who's all ready to have a little bit of fun, okay? I'm mainly making fun of myself as a mother. There's plenty of material I'm going to get into here. But here's the thing. There is one thing that every human has in common. Does anyone know what that is? Skin, okay, graphic, yes. That is true, Travis. Something else they have, and who gave them that skin, is a mum. Everybody has a mum. So I know that we have different people from different experiences here. We have some people that are not yet mums. And if we're honest, and if I can just say this right from the beginning, I know that today isn't a super joyful day for some people. You know, I've got a really good friend of mine that this is her first Mother's Day without her mum. You know, I've got friends that are dealing with infertility. I know there's people out there that have really dysfunctional relationships with their mum. So I know that today isn't necessarily joyful for everyone, but I'm telling you, there is a word of joy for every single person here. So before we even get started today, I want to read this scripture because I think it's so powerful. And this is for anyone that today, this day might not be a day of joy. I want you to hear this morning. Wait for it. It's worth waiting for, even though it's at the end. I have 9 pages of notes, guys. I know, it's a problem. I know, I was trying to stop at 5, but I just couldn't stop. All right, here we go. I love this. The Bible says in Psalms 27, verse 10, it says this, "Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live and lead me along the right path." So listen, this word today is a word from God teaching us how to live. So even if your mother didn't do maybe the best job of teaching you how to live, I'm telling you, you got a father in heaven that wants to have a word for you today that you can walk out of here, maybe with some tips on how to not to just survive life, but thrive in life and how to live a life that is awesome. So are we ready for this today? All right, so I'm going to talk today about some things that mums say, because we all have mums, but who knows, there's a whole bunch of different mums. We have mums all over the world, all sorts of creeds and colours and interest groups, like mums are everywhere. But despite all the differences, I feel like there's one thing that every mum has in common, and that is these mum sayings, all right? There's just some things that no matter what type of mum you are, you say. And as you're not a mum and you're growing up, you're like, I'm never going to say that when I'm a mum. Can I just tell you, you say all of the mum sayings. You think you're not going to say it, and then you have a toddler, and then they come out of your mouth. All right, so let's look at some of the mum sayings that these are global phenomenons, okay? First of all, I'm going to go through some very illogical mum sayings. These are some of my favourites. Don't look at me with those eyes. Which, if you think about it, doesn't make a lot of sense. If you keep making that face, it'll freeze that way. Like, will it though? Will it, mums? I said that one actually yesterday and I laughed at myself. Don't sit that close to the TV. You'll get square eyes. Oh, blind. Wow. Maybe I'm going to stop asking for feedback from the audience today. Quiet down. I can't hear myself. Like, come on, that's illogical right there, but it's a good one. Why can't you get up and get it? Are your legs painted on? Did anyone else's mum say that? Okay, I thought that might have been just my mum. She was just saying that. Why can't you go up and get it? Are your legs painted on? Maybe that's an Australian thing. I don't know. All right, so that's some of the illogical mum sayings in the world. We need some sarcastic ones because I think mums do sarcasm really well. If they all jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge? No, I'm not going to jump off a bridge unless there's a bungee cord involved. Then, yes, I might just do that. Shut the door. Do you live in a tent? No, but that does actually sound really cool. Tent living would be good. Sometimes talking to you is like talking to a... Again, sarcastic, but I like it. I love this one. I use this all the time with my kids. Let's play the quiet game. Let's play the quiet game. Classic mumism right there. Or when they're screaming, you're like, guys, just sit here, watch Paw Patrol for 2 minutes. I'm going upstairs, and then they're screaming. I walk down the stairs, and I say this mum saying, someone better be bleeding if I'm coming down. Someone better be bleeding. And then this is another classic one, maybe just to me. Where are your manners? Were you raised by wolves? Again, I'm not a Disney character, so no, I was not raised by wolves. All right, so we've got some illogical ones, we've got some sarcastic ones, and now the real guns come out. Now we've got the threatening mum saying. So you ready? I almost feel like Gina, we need your voice to come up and do them. Just imagine this in Gina's voice. It's way more terrifying. Way. If you don't hurry up, we're leaving without you. Okay, let's just call the bluff on that. There's this thing called CPS. It actually means we can't leave you behind. So really, call my bluff on it. But I'm going to threaten you that if you don't hurry up, we're leaving without you. What about this one? If you don't stop, I'm going to turn the car around. Okay, again, call my bluff. You know, we got to get to swim practice. You know, your school starts, which gives me like 6 hours of getting stuff done. So we're not turning the car around, but I want you to think that we are, okay? Okay, I'm going to count to three. One, two. Does anyone actually know what happens when you get to three? I've never actually tested out. Like, no one wants to know what actually is on the other side of three. Has anyone got close to where you're about to say three and you're like, don't go there. I don't know what comes next. So you really elongate the two. One, two. Yes, because I don't want to know what happens at three. All right, now I'm going to give you one that is a Davies family classic. This actually doesn't come from their mother. This comes from their father. And this is all round, all year round, okay? This is not a seasonal threat. This is like all year round. Wait for it. I'm going to call Santa. Okay. Now, not only is that a threat in our house, it is an action threat. My husband actually has an app that calls Santa. So it might be February. Christmas might be well and gone, but we are still getting Santa involved if we need him. So, come on, who's heard a few of those from their mums? Even if they're not a mum, heard mum say them. All right, so there's some things that mums all around the world speak. And I reckon this message today, we're going to talk about a translation of the Bible. So there's a couple of translations of the Bible. We've got, you know, the NLT, the NIV. But I reckon there's actually a translation of the Bible that we just talked about. I think it's the gospel according to mums. Because I don't know about you, I read a bunch of these and I'm like, some of these mum sayings will preach this morning. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to take some of these mum sayings and we're going to preach on them today. So that's the title of my message, The Gospel According to Mums. All right, so we're going to pick five of my very favorites that I haven't said yet. So it's going to be like five mini messages today, but I'm telling you, if you can actually open up and decide that you're going to walk out of here different today, I know it's going to be powerful. And God's already told me there is a specific word for some people in here today. We're going to see lives transformed. We're going to see people set free. It's going to be incredible. Okay, so no matter what your earthly parents are like, just remember, it doesn't matter. There is a heavenly Father that is apparent to all of us. Because I know that not all of us have the most healthy representation of what a parent is. And maybe in your home, the threatening things that were said by your parents were way less funny and more just pretty hard. And you're still maybe, as an adult, maybe a little bit wounded. But I'm telling you, there's some things that our Heavenly Father says over us that I think God wants to heal up some wounds today and really restore joy. I feel that's the word of today. Today is going to be a day of joy. So let's pray and let's get into this. God, we just thank you for who you are, God. God, we invite you into this room today. We invite you into this message, God. God, I thank you that that is a prophetic word over today, God, that the joy of the Lord would be people's strength. God, I speak to people today that are feeling like they're coming into church like, oh, not another Sunday, just talking about motherhood, reminding me of all the things that I don't have, or maybe some of the pains. God, I thank you that there's a day of healing for people. And God, for every mother that's in here, Father, that is feeling maybe weary in the journey, God. God, I thank you that your word does say that the joy of the Lord will be their strength, God. So I thank you that you are strengthening mothers this morning. God, that we are going to be better mothers at the other end of this message. So Father, I pray your words this morning, not mine. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right, you ready for point number one this morning? It's a classic. Hands up if you heard this one. And I think it needs a click just to really emphasize it. Hey, are you listening to me? How many people have heard that from their mum? How many people have already said that to their kids this morning? Yep, my hand's up. Hey, are you listening to me? All right, so that is a lesson in learning that I think mums say to their kids, but I actually think it's a lesson that God is trying to give to us, his spiritual kids today. So we're going to look at number one. Hey, are you listening to me? All right, so this is what I realized is that kids not listening is something that you don't teach them. Somewhere along the line, I mean, I had a one-year-old and I remember it. I'm like, you are 9 months old and you still, like, you've already learnt to not listen. There is something, I think, innate in every human where we forget that we actually need to listen to the people God put around us. There is something, I think, in us where we actually need to remember that God gave us ears for a reason. Hey, that's another good mumism right there. Who knows why mums say that? Do you think mums, and maybe if there's some kids out here, you need to hear this. Do you think mums just say that because they like hearing themselves talk? Yeah, preaching. I'm preaching. If my kids can hear this in kids' church, we need to just live stream this in. Mums don't just say, hey, are you listening for the sake of it? They're saying it because they're trying to get their kids' attention, because they're trying to tell them something that's rather going to protect them or prepare them. They're not just saying things to waste air. There's actually, they're trying to stop them from walking in something they shouldn't, particularly in my two-year-old Jack. That's definitely why I'm saying it. Or you're trying to prepare them about what's coming ahead. Can I say it's the same for mums, but it's also the same for God. So in this first point today, I want to ask you the question, how good are you at listening to God? Have you got God sometimes maybe doing a little bit of a snap at you and go, hey, are you listening? Can I just say God is way nicer than me as a mum? God is way nicer. But I'm telling you, the same premise applies. As a pastor, probably the most common question I get asked is, hey, how do you hear God's voice? And I get that because we're up here a lot saying, hey, God told me this, or I felt God said this to me. And if you're a new believer, or maybe this is the first time you've been in a church like this, the question's in there like, hey, where are you getting all this God chatter from? Maybe no one's ever really talked to you about how to hear from God. And you know, that is, and we're not going to go deep into this today. If that's a question you have, like, how do I hear the voice of God? I would encourage you, talk to a Connect Group leader about it. Talk to one of our leaders about it. But can I just say this? In regards to hearing the voice of God, it has less to do with the voice of God and way more to do with our ears that are hearing it. I would say the most common reason people don't hear the voice of God is not even like what the voice is saying or how to find it. It's just that we have actually lost the ability to tune our ears in to what the Lord is saying. So we don't, it's not God struggling to speak. It's often us struggling to listen. Okay, so just quickly, these are the five main ways I think that God speaks. Number one, through his word, through the Bible. So reading your Bible is so important because it actually says that the words in your Bible, it's a living word. It's part of who Jesus is. His word is who he is. So that's why we need to read the Bible, because all of a sudden his words get in our heart like seeds and they take root. So if you're not reading your Bible, do it. Number two, through the Holy Spirit. It says he's like a still, small voice. So if you're wondering about God speaking to you, I would ask the question, when was the last time you actually just sat and inclined your spiritual ears to listen? Okay, here's another one, through other people. Did you know that God speaks through other people? Often through your mothers, if my kids are listening. But seriously, God uses other people, wise people, people that love you in your life, to actually bring a word of the Lord to you. Through his word, through the Holy Spirit, through other people. Sometimes it's through life circumstances. When the doors open, when the doors closed. I think for me, I know when God's in it. I kind of know that I keep going till the door shuts often. And then I have to use my discernment. Is this a door I need to pray open, or is this God saying, hey, you're going the wrong direction, turn around. And then number five, through dreams and visions. So in this first point, hey, are you listening? I want to ask, are you hearing God through each of these things? When is the last time you picked up the Bible and actually heard the voice of God? When's the last time in your quiet time you actually felt God whisper something into your heart? When's the last time you had a dream which you know came from heaven itself, that was authored from heaven to unlock something in the inside of you? When's the last time you had a leader speak into your life, speak life into you? I'm telling you, we have ears on our head and we have ears on our heart, and they're actually there to hear the voice of God. Proverbs 1, verse 7 to 9 this morning from the NLT says this: "Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. My child, listen." Everyone say, listen. "When your father corrects you, don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck." A train of honor around your neck. What's the best Mother's Day present you could possibly give your mum? Would it be a complete new wardrobe from Nordstrom? Maybe. Would it be a week in Hawaii? Yes, it possibly could be. Please don't be discouraged if that was something you were thinking. But I'm telling you, and I'll speak for the mums out there, the best gift probably you could ever give your mum is actually listening when they speak. And I'm telling you again, same for mums, same for your father in heaven. People get overwhelmed by the joy of salvation. They're like, how could I possibly pay back to all that God has given me? I'm telling you, one of the best ways that you could actually pay it back to God is just listening when he speaks. Come on, we don't want to be foolish people. We want to be people that heed our mother's instructions. We want to be people that hear the direction of our father. Ephesians 6, 1 to 3 says this: "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth." I'm telling you, there is so much attached to honoring our parents. And as I said, I know that some of us don't have honorable parents. So sometimes it is hard to give honor where maybe honor isn't due. So I'm telling you, even if there's a journey, and I would encourage you to journey that out with somebody, even if you can't give honor here, give honor to your heavenly father, to the God that I'm telling you that if you can obey him, it says in that word, not only do you get jewelry, come on, you get a crown and jewelry. It actually says you get to live longer. Come on, that's better than any Nordstrom's gift card you could get. But again, don't be discouraged, Drew. Don't be discouraged. There we go. Listening to the voice of our moms keeps us protected and prepared. Listening to the voice of our Father in heaven does the same thing. John 10, 27. "My sheep recognizes," or other versions say, "or listens to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them real and eternal life. They are protected from the destroyer for good. No one can steal them out of my hand. The Father who put them under my care is so much greater than the destroyer and the thief. No one could ever get them away from me." I'm telling you, it just keeps getting better. Honoring our Father in heaven, listening to his voice, means that we get adorned with jewels. It means we get to live longer. And it also says that we get protected from anything that comes up against us in this world. You know, and sometimes it doesn't feel that way, because, you know, sometimes bad things can still happen to people that are honoring their father. But it does say this, that he will prepare you for the fight. It says that he is by your side. And I'm telling you, when God is with you, who or what can be against you? In Jesus' name. So as I come to the end of this point, ask yourself the question, hey, am I listening? Maybe that's a word for you today. Hey, are you listening? All right, you ready for number two? All right, this is a good one. And Gina, I need to get you to do a cameo up here, because as I said, I really think you'll bring it a little bit more. This is a classic one. You ready? Hands up if you heard this one. "Because I said so, that's why." Yes, anyone? Anyone use it today already? A bunch of us, okay. "Because I said so, that's why." So if number one was a lesson in listening, number two is a lesson in trust and obedience. "Because I said so, that's why." So, you know, this is the thing, all right? I'm pretty good at communication for the most part. I don't want to brag, but in 11th grade, I did win a debating competition. It's a pretty big deal. There was a badge. I'm just saying. All right, so I'm fairly okay at communication, except when it comes to my 4-year-old daughter. I'm telling you, like 90% of the time, she is winning, and I am not the winner on that debate team. I swear my daughter at some point during the night is taken off by Navy SEALs to be trained as a negotiator. particularly in regard to asking for gummies, okay? Because despite how much I say, no, Georgie, you've had enough gummies today, by like the 17th time of being asking, all I have left in my mum arsenal is, because I said so, that's why. Which basically means I've run out of ways of convincing you. You are better at this debate thing than I am. And I'm going to bring out my one trump card I have, which is that I'm the boss. And I have to remind myself, I'm the boss. That's right. I'm the boss. I'm the boss. I'm bringing out that trump card and just saying, hey, because I said so, that's why. Because I know I'm about to lose the argument. So I'm throwing that card down. This is a good one. But mum, why? Yes, that why goes so long. And then there's just a really good satisfying because I said so, that's why. I wonder how many of us are like a four-year-old girl when it comes to God. But God, why? I wonder how tempted God is sometimes just say, because I said so, that's why. I'm speaking to myself this morning. I am speaking to myself. Like when it comes to the Ten Commandments, this is where I'm at, all right? I'm like, do not murder. Check. Okay, I think I can follow that one. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Yes, I can do that most days. Honor your father and mother. I'm like, okay, I get that. Do not gossip. I'm like, what happens if it's like a prayer request gossip? Is that okay? No, that's still not on there. Okay. Do not lie. And I'm like ever? Like, what happens if it's like one of those lies that, you know, it's like little? No, do not lie. Okay. Do not envy. And I'm like, but God, have you seen Natalie's shoe collection? Like, how do I not envy? Like, are you kidding me? So when it comes to the things God's telling me to do, for the most part, I can get on board. But what about some of those things of the kingdom that just have us yelling to heaven? But why? So for me, if we can get real today, let's talk about tithing for a minute. Come on, that's hard. You know, you're walking through things and you're trying to be wise in what you're doing. You want to buy a house, you want to provide for your children, but you know God said to give 10% of your income back to Him, that it was never yours to begin with. You're actually returning it back to the source. How many of us turn to God and go, but why, God, but why? What about how many of us are dealing with the fact that God says we have to forgive? Like, how many people are like me that go, but God, it's not fair. And for the 17th time that day, I yell, but God, why? I don't want to tithe. I don't want to forgive. I don't want to serve. I don't want to be nice to people. I don't want to lift my hands in worship. But why? Okay, come on. I'm being transparent. Anyone else like a four-year-old girl? Okay, this helps. This helps. I'm telling you, just like I say to Georgia when she's begging for gummies, I'm telling her, no, because I know that she's going to get sick and end up vomiting later on. I'm telling you, as a parent, I'm not denying her things or telling her to do things because I don't have her best intentions at heart. I'm telling you, same for mums. And how much better is our God in heaven? Same for God. I'm telling you, the things that He's telling us to do and not do are because He loves us and He's for us. And maybe when that mum saying comes up, because I said so, that's why. Maybe that's a bit of a revelation some of us need to have around God this morning. Maybe it isn't we're wasting a lot of energy yelling at God, but why? Well, maybe we just need to get a revelation because He said so, that's why. Come on, He is the God. He is the creator of heavens and earth. He is for you, not against you. So when God says something, I say we get on board and do it. Come on, amen. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 2 to 5 says this, do what your king commands. You have a sacred oath of obedience, a sacred oath of obedience. Don't worryingly, there you go, second guess your orders or try to back out when the task is unpleasant. You're serving at His pleasure, not yours. Ouch. The king has the last word. Who dares to say to Him, what are you doing? Carrying out orders won't hurt you a bit. The wise person obeys promptly and accurately. Come on, I know talking about obedience isn't maybe the funnest thing on Mother's Day, but I'm telling you, just like the best gift my kids could do to me was actually listen to what I say, I'm telling you it's the best gift you can give your Father in heaven this morning. When He speaks, let's be people that have learnt the lesson of listening, but then secondly, we've all learnt the lesson of actually obeying what He says. You guys doing okay? Okay. The third point this morning. And you know what? This is not one that I've actually said to my kids. It was actually something my mum has said to me a lot. And I look back at old pictures and I really do see why she said this. All right, you ready for this one? You're about to walk out the door and then your mum says, is that what you're wearing? Has anyone had a mum do that? Is that what you're wearing? Come on, really? I'm like the only one? Come on. There we go. Thank you. Some honesty. Is this what I'm wearing today? Yes. I'm trying to be cool and hip, guys. I don't know if it's working for you. So you can ask, is that what you're wearing? Yes, yeah. Thank you. That helped my insecurity. Thank you, Kaylee. Thank you, Kaylee. Is that what you're wearing? Mum saying number three this morning. You know, so many mothers say this to their kids on their way out because we're looking at them. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I just bought a whole new wardrobe at Target and you're wearing the Ninja Turtle shirt for the 15th time this week? Like, come on, that Brenda, that goes out to you. Or they're like, of all your clean clothes, why are you wearing the one that has a massive stain on the front? Or like, why do you smell? Like, come on, a mum of all the boys out there, but a two-year-old and he smells. Is that what you're wearing? Now, why does that matter? And this is what I realized, is because our kids are an extension of our parenthood. So listen, I've got my four-year-old is obsessed with wearing princess dresses all the time. And like, that's cute or whatever, but at some point, I'm beginning to get insecure as a parent because I'm like, people are going to think you're homeless. Like, that's all you have. And she doesn't like brushing her hair. So at some point, it bothers me what she's wearing because I want them to think you come from a good home where we brush your hair and we dress you well. And so when she goes out there dressed not awesome, I do ask the question, is that what you're wearing? Meaning, I know in your wardrobe, you have a whole bunch of cute clothes. Why are you walking out the door in that? It's cute maybe when you're younger, but if she was still wearing princess dresses without a hairbrush as she's matured a little bit, we're going to be in a problem. Same for, you know, earthly kids, same for adult kids. I'm telling you, when we get saved, we have a wardrobe of really awesome clothes that our God has given us. Yet how many times are we walking out wearing our old stuff? Wearing the stuff that stinks, wearing the stuff that's stained, wearing the old regret, wearing the old shame. And I feel like God sometimes wants to stop at the door and go, hey, what are you wearing? Isaiah 61 verse 10 says this, I will rejoice greatly. I greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me. Everyone say, he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness as a bridegroom decks himself out like a priest with a beautiful headdress and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. I'm telling you, when we get saved, we get a whole new wardrobe. So when we start walking out into the world, we need to ask ourselves the question, why aren't we wearing those garments that God talked about? Proverbs 31 verse 25 says this, and this is actually kind of the scripture of our Cherish conference this year, ladies. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Here's something about clothes. Clothes make you feel certain ways. Like if I'm feeling it, I'm feeling it. You know what I mean? Like if I'm like, yeah, I can do this. I'm like strutting through my day, like, yeah. But I'm telling you, when I'm doing like yoga pants and, you know, I spilt, you know, coffee on myself earlier and it's like 4 p.m. or you're still wearing your pajamas, I'm telling you, it begins to have an effect on your self-esteem a little bit. You're like, you know what? I really need to go have a shower and get dressed. Same for physical clothes, same for spiritual clothes. What we wear actually affects how we feel. When we have a brand new set of clothes on, we feel good. We walk into the world with purpose. We walk with our head up. It's like we know. We would never go to a job interview wearing old stuff. We always want to put on our best and present ourselves in the best way. And that's kind of what we need to get this morning. When we have a whole wardrobe of spiritual clothes, I'm saying we need to get rid of the old, get out of our spiritual yoga pants, change the coffee-stained shirt of our spirit, and put on the new clothes that God has prepared for each of us in Jesus' name. Come on, she is clothed with strength and dignity. Ladies, mums, would you say you're clothed with strength and dignity? If you're not, good news this morning. You just have to take off the old and put on his new. He's got strength and dignity for all of us. And what's so cool about that scripture is a second bit. And it says, she laughs without fear of the future. She laughs without fear of the future. When we let God clothe us, it changes how we see the world. It changes how the world sees us, but then it changes how we see the world. I want to be clothed with the finest things in the spirit so I can look at the future and laugh, knowing that he is good and that he is with me. And when he is with me, who or what can be against me in Jesus' name? Who or what can be against me? So come on, third saying today, what are you wearing? And you know what's cool is that God has some pretty cool clothes in the closet. There's strength, there's dignity, there's all that headdress stuff. But listen to this, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, Ephesians 6, 11 to 17. Did you know God has tailor-made armor for you as well? That not only is it like all the floaty, frilly dresses, he's got some stuff that makes you look tough. Are you ready for this? Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the enemy's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, everyone say, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth. Everyone says belt of truth. Buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I'm telling you, what's in our spiritual closet is legit. Take off the old, put it on. Come on, let's arm ourselves up for the fight. We don't have to go out this unarmed. God has got a tailor-made armory suit. Is that what it's called? A suit of armor. That's what I'm going for each and every one of you. Ask yourself the question, are you wearing your suit of armor? Or are you content going into this world unarmed day after day when you could just turn around when God says, hey, what are you wearing? I know you're going through stuff. What are you wearing? You can turn back around, reach into the armory that God has given you and arm up for all that's ahead. Amen. All right. Fourth mummism this morning. It's a good one. It's this. Yes, you can do it. Anyone heard that one? Yes, you can do it. So if number one was a lesson in learning, number two is a lesson in trust and obedience, number three is a lesson in identity, number four is this. It's a lesson in confidence. It's a lesson in knowing that when you know who you are, you know what you're capable of. My 4-year-old's starting swim lessons right now. And it's the cutest thing to watch her. And she's so scared of the water. So I'm that mum, that crazy mum by the side of the pool, like, Georgia, you can do it. Yes, you can do it. You can do it. I'm telling you, I'm not a cheerleader, except when it comes to my kids. Like, you could put me in any team and I would be right. Just give me pom-poms and a skirt, I would rock it. I'm the best cheerleader of all for my kids. Yes, you can do it. You can do it. You can jump in the deep end. You can do the whole floaty thing on your back. You can do it. Why as a parent am I so confident in saying that to her? This is why. Because I know who she is and I know what she's capable of because I made her. I know what's in there because I was there from the beginning. I saw her when she was born. I saw the potential inside of her. So when I'm yelling on the sideline going, come on, yes, you can do it. I'm not doing that as wishful thinking. I'm doing that as a parent that loves her kid and knows what's on the inside of her. I'm telling you, did you know God is at the sideline of your life saying that to you this morning? Hey, yes, you can do it. Hey, but God, my marriage is falling apart. I could possibly not put it back together. God is saying today, yes, you can. God, I could never bust out of poverty. I could never own a home in San Diego. God is saying this morning, yes, you can. I'm telling you, there's no can't in the kingdom of God. As God is your father, who or what can be against you? Fourth mummism today, yes, you can. Philippians 4 verse 13, for I can do everything. Everyone say everything. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I'm telling you, Georgia can do it, not because it's even in her strength, but because she has a whole family around her. She has a whole heritage that she can do anything she sets her mind to. For you can do anything through Christ who gives you strength. Luke 1 verse 37 says this, for nothing is impossible with God. For nothing is impossible with God. But how can God say that? Like, he doesn't know my circumstance. I'm telling you, he doesn't need to. Because he's your father and he made you, he knows what's in you. He's not saying that to toy with you. He's saying that because he's your father and he knows what's on the inside of you. Psalm 37, 23 and 24 says this, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delight in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I'm telling you, even if Georgia jumped off the water and she was floundering in the water and she failed, she wouldn't ever fail because her mum's right there to jump in and save her. So I'm completely okay saying, come on, you can do it. Because even if she couldn't, I'm there to save her. That's the thing with God. When he's telling you, hey, get out of the boat. Come on, step out in faith. Even if your faith falters and you find yourself under the waves when you should be over them, it doesn't matter because your Heavenly Father is there to pull you up again, put you back in the boat and get you tried again. With Him, you can do it. There is nothing that is against you. All right, as we come to a close, I want to talk about our fifth one this morning. I hope this is one that you've said to your kids today. It's one I try to say to my kids all the time, and it's this. You will always be my baby. I love you. You will always be my baby. I'm telling you, it says that our love for our kids pales in comparison to the love that our Father has for us. But even as I'm looking at my kids and they're growing and they don't need me as much, they're getting more independent, they're able to do a whole bunch of things on their own, I always think to myself, no matter how big you get, no matter how capable you get, you will always be my baby. What I'm actually saying is, even if you don't think you need me, I'm still going to be there. That this relationship we have, it doesn't expire. You might be 65 years old. I'm still going to be there. I'm going to be your biggest cheerleader. Still going to be teaching you to trust and obey, to listen. I'm still probably going to be asking you the question, hey, what are you wearing? Being a parent doesn't expire. It might change in different seasons as you mature, but I'm telling you, the heart of a parent never changes. Same for me, for my kids. Same for your Father, for you this morning. Hebrews 13 verse 5 says this, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. You know, even as I'm talking about this, maybe we can have the keys play. I know that even hearing that is hard for some people's hearts because maybe your exposure to earthly parents hasn't been that. That maybe there's been a lot of forsaking and a lot of leaving when it comes to your own parents. Can I just encourage you? There's one person that's never left your side. There's one person that has never or will ever forsake you. Just like for me, I'm in it for life with my kids. I'm not going anywhere. Even if they don't want me, I'm going to be that awkward mum hanging on the sidelines just in case. Just in case they need some cheerleading, I'm being there. Jeremiah 31:3 says this, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying this, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Today, God wants to just speak to some of His kids and just say exactly that. Hey, you'll always be my baby. I love you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm always here. You think you're drowning in the pool and it's scary, but I'm just on the sidelines cheering you on. And you can do it because I made you and I'm with you. And when I'm with you, who or what can be against you? So a couple of things today. A lesson in listening. A lesson in trust and obedience. A lesson in identity. A lesson in confidence. And then this, a lesson in God's love for us. I'm going to ask for every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed. And we're going to invite the Holy Spirit here. God, I thank you, Father. Lord, just one day in your kingdom, in your court, is better than 1,000 elsewhere, God. God, of all the ways that we could honor our mums this Mother's Day, the way that we could honor you, Father, it's this, is taking a moment to listen to your Holy Spirit, Father. God, I know that there was words in here for people today, God. And like keys, they're going to unlock parts of people's heart that have been shut up for a long time. God, that have been numb, that have been gripped by pain or gripped by insecurity. God, I thank you that this is a deliverance Sunday for so many, God. God, that the joy of the Lord is going to be people's strength in today. So I'm going to pray for a couple of people today. First of all, we need to pray for people that have maybe, I'm talking a lot about your Heavenly Father. And the thing about Heavenly Father is that He's always there, but it requires a response from us. He loves us. He first chose us, but we have to choose Him back. So before we do anything today, I want to ask if there's anybody in the room that actually needs to position God in the place that's rightfully His, which is as your spiritual Father, as your Heavenly Father. I feel that God is healing up some wounds today, and you're actually able to say, you know what, I'm ready actually to put God in His rightful place. I'm ready to call myself a Christian. I'm ready to come underneath the covering of my Father in heaven. So if that's you this morning and you know that you need to respond to Jesus, maybe for the first time or maybe it's been a while and you've forgotten it, I want to start today by just including you in a prayer. So is there anyone today, anyone that needs to pray a prayer of salvation? We're going to wait because this is important. I'm telling you, God loves us so much. He sent us mums to preach at us every day, all day, and we didn't know it. But God also loves you so much that He would stop a church service just to make sure your heart is right with Him. Is there anyone out there today that needs to respond to Jesus? Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. All right, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I also just want to pray for people that today is not a day of joy for you. I know there's people in here that, had a dysfunctional upbringing. Maybe were adopted for whatever reason, or estranged from their parents. There's also some ladies out there that maybe due to singleness or maybe due to infertility, without the child they've been praying for. So today is a day of reminding them what they don't yet have. If you are in this room and today is a day of pain rather than joy for you, I want to take a moment to pray for you. So if that's you, can I get you to do something? Just put your hand up. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Thank you, God. God, you see, Father, not just every hand raised, God, but you see every heart. God, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is like a skilled surgeon coming in, Lord, making all things new. God, I thank you that you're resetting people's view of you today, God. God, that rather than pain and grief in its place, they're going to find joy, God. God, and that joy will be their strength through the journey of faith that you're taking them on. God, right now I speak to barren wombs and I say be opened in Jesus' name. God, I thank you. We stand and we declare the miraculous over every heart that is drawing near to you today, God. God, we thank you. Babies born, marriages happening in Jesus' name. God, I pray for restoration conversations in family, God, where families that were torn apart will come back together. God, I speak to generational dysfunction right now, God. God, where there's been drama, God, I speak peace in Jesus' name. God, it says that one of the bits of our armory is that we get to have sandals of peace, God. God, I thank you. Blessed are the peacemakers in this room, God. God, give us, Father, eyes to see how we can bring peace in situations that aren't peaceful. God, I thank you. Let the miraculous rest on these hands in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And then last of all, if you're a mum in this place, or you're believing to be a mum, can you lift your hand up as well? Actually, can you stand in your seat? Let's stand in your seat. We're going to declare a blessing over every one of our mums right now. God, I thank you, Father, for each of these women, Lord. God, not even for what they do, though we honour them for that, God. God, but I thank you that for who each of these women are, Lord. God, I thank you that they are women, Father, that understand their place as mums is actually to teach their kids the gospel. That every time they bring correction, every time they bring a word to protect or prepare their kids, what they're actually doing is preaching the gospel. God, I thank you, Father, that you are giving mums a revelation of the stewardship they have as a parent, God. God, that they would re-embrace, Father, their role to speak life and to speak love over their children's life, God. God, I thank you today, God, we are creating a legacy in the hearts of mums, God. God, where it's been hard, Father, there's going to be a supernatural ease to parenting in Jesus' name. God, I speak to weariness right now, God. God, it says that those who wait on you renew their strength. They soar like eagles. So, God, I thank you. You are removing heaviness from mums' lives, God. Give them a new perspective of the incredible role they have as mothers, as grandmothers, as caretakers in Jesus' name. God, we bless every mum. We bless every mum. They should be clothed with strength, Father. God, that she would be clothed, Father, and she would be able to look at her future and laugh, knowing that you are with her. And when you are with her, who or what can be against her? In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, we're going to have everyone stand to their feet. Come on, it's the good news. It's the good news. God is for us. God is for us. We thank you, Father. We thank you for mothers, God. God, we thank you for who you are, Lord. God, I thank you that today, Lord, we are walking out differently, Lord, than we came in, Lord, that when we encounter you, Lord, things are different. God, align our hearts to your heart today, God. God, I thank you that you're strengthening us, that you're perfecting us, Lord. God, that we're people that know how to listen, that know how to trust and obey, Father. God, that we're people that know our identity, Father. We know our confidence in you. And more than all of that, God, we are sure, Father, of the love of the Father in our lives, Father. God, we give this Sunday to you. We give you all the glory and all the praise. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.